This morning, are you blessed to be in the presence of the Lord? Let me tell you, it's never in vain. The Bible tells us one day is better than 1,000 days. One day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. Amen. There's so many things that we can accomplish when we are in the presence of the Lord. Just by acknowledging Him and acknowledging His presence and especially honoring His house. There's nothing better in the life of a human being than to come in touch, come into contact with the opportunity to know the importance of the house of the Lord. Amen. And even to know the Lord is a privilege and an honor for us to have known the Lord. Do you know there are millions and millions across the face of the earth who do not know God? And for us, God has privileged us. And He has given us an opportunity to know the Lord. Amen. And so we give Him the glory and we give Him the honor. It is just a beautiful thing to have a lifestyle of just honoring God, to know that He is on the throne, to know that He takes care of our lives, to know that He protects us, to know that He goes beyond where we cannot go, to know that even when we sleep, we are comfortable, to know that He is taking care of us even while we are sleeping, while we are driving, while we are doing going our day-to-day affairs. It is a beautiful thing to know that somebody is watching over me. Amen? Praise the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord for last Sunday. We missed the service here. We went with our family to San Antonio, and we had a good time there, but we missed the church so much. And I understand that you guys had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I bless the Lord even for Pastor Julius bringing the word of the Lord. Now, this morning, I have a special word that I would like to bring to us, and I believe the Lord put this word in my heart. And just before I bring this word, I would like just to mention to you about some things that the Lord has been speaking to me this morning. As I woke up in the morning, the Lord woke me so early actually today, and He started speaking to me concerning certain things. And those things have led me to declare this week that we are going to pray and fast on behalf of families, not only the families in our church, but the families in our city. Praise the Lord. There is a spirit of death that the devil is determined with the whole of his might to destroy families and to destroy the lives of young people. I cannot really tell you explicitly what the Lord spoke to me or what I saw when I was sleeping, because I saw it like in a vision. It was not like a vision because I was not sleeping, but it is like a spirit that has determined to invade America. And I was seeing some people, some kind of a people. I'm not going to give you the whole details, but I was seeing some people at the consulates of U.S. consulates across the world. People, it's like gangsters trying to get visas, and they were giving these visas, and they had the spirit of death written on them. So we really need to pray. In fact, this week, I would like us to pray and fast. Take a day. You know, I don't know how many of us know about fasting, and I don't know how many of us usually take a week or maybe a day or in a week maybe to pray, to specifically determine to pray. But whatever day God's put specifically in your life, in your heart, I would like us to make this week a day of prayer and fasting. Amen? And I'll be available. Whoever is available coming to church beginning this week, there's actually somebody in this church praying, but we want to intensify. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for even the children of our church. Let me tell you, the devil has released an onslaught against families. You know, when the families are destroyed, when there's scuffle between a husband and a wife, when there's a scuffle between the children, pitched against the children, against their parents, or the parents against their children, there's going to be instability. Amen? And you've heard it. You've seen, young people. Recently, it's just like and in fact, let me tell you, I was not even thinking about, the lives of young people the young people that have perished recently, even in our city. And so there is an onslaught. Let us come against the spirit of Islamic fundamentalists premiering in our cities. Because I saw it like a great initiation. But how many people know that our God is greater than the kingdom of the devil? Amen. We are not promoting the bigness of the devil. I don't want you to think that I'm glorifying the king, I'm glorifying the kingdom of the enemy. Our God is greater than the devil. But you know what? God said one time, and I looked and saw whether there was somebody who was standing in the gap. Amen. We are the people that God has called us to stand in the gap. I'm telling you the truth. If we do not pray, this thing is going to continue. And you know, you never know who is going to hit. Amen. So we want to put a stop into the death and early deaths of young people, people committing suicides. This is the spirit of the devil. And we want to take time to pray and fast this week. Are we all together? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And I'll be communicating with us this week. I'll be letting people know that we are praying and fasting. Take a day, whether it is a Monday, whether it is a Tuesday. If you want to take several days, pray, please. And pray. Let the Lord, when you get into the presence of the Lord, let him remind you of the families. We are praying for families. Pray for the young people. Let God lead you into who you ought to pray. Amen. And when you do that, the Lord surely is going to bless you. Amen. I was thinking the other day, we were going to minister to a certain family this weekend. And I was going, as we were driving down the road, it was, I think it was one of the days of the week, you know, last week. And I was so driving there, I was wondering, Lord, why do we even do some of these things? When are we going to be repaid? You know, the way naturally you can ask yourself a question. And I know we ask ourselves so many questions when we do certain things, and especially when we serve in the house of the Lord. And let me tell you, I had almost like a clear voice speaking to my mind. This is what I was hearing. The Spirit of God was telling me, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap a harvest. Amen? In due season you shall do what? You shall reap a harvest. Do not grow weary in doing good, particularly to the house of the Lord, particularly to those that are of the household of faith. For in due season, we shall reap a harvest if we do not faint. Amen. And as I had those words, I also had these words that, you know what, you, those hands, as you drive and as you go to see that family, it is me who is going to see that family. I'm just using you as a vessel. And I really got surprised. It is not like it's something I don't know, that we are the extended hands of Jesus. But you know what? It kind of like blasted into my mind, knowing that it is God right now in this car. And I am driving now to see that family. And you are my extended hands. And I'm using you to go and be a blessing and to be a comfort to that family. Amen. So whenever God puts into your heart to call somebody or to go visit somebody or to pray for somebody, particularly praying for somebody, know that you are the extended hands of the Lord. Amen? Very, very important, church. Listen to me. It's very, very, very important. Amen? So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we do not give up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, that was just a by the way. It was not my intended messages, the message that I have this morning, the title of it I've called The Enduring Winning Attitude. Can you say with me, The Enduring Winning Attitude? Say with me again. Yes. How can we have an enduring winning attitude? Comes into your mind when you think about winning? Many times when I think about winning, ostensibly, I something comes into my heart, and I can't help it. I just go back into my old school days, whereby, you know, I just see in my mind people in a racetrack, and they are lining up, and they are just about to run, and whoever wins is the one who gets a trophy. That's what it comes into my mind. You know, I don't know what, when you think about winning, I don't know what comes into your mind. But that's mostly what comes into my mind. I see people in a truck and they are running, and whoever wins, you know, is the one who gets a trophy. But I feel it is very different. The winning that God really expects us to have is very different from that. Because actually, for we who are born again, or for we who are Christians, we do not compete against each other. Amen? We do not compete against each other, but God expects us to complete each other. Somebody say amen. You have been called to be a blessing to somebody else. God has given each and every one of us a special gift that is designated to be a blessing for somebody else. Amen? And God has given us diverse characteristics. He has given us diverse personalities. And those personalities are not only supposed to benefit us, but they are supposed to benefit the other members of the body of Christ. Amen? There are people who when they speak, you know, when they open up their mouths, they leave you so encouraged and you feel like you want to hit the door and go do the thing that God has put in your heart. There are people when they kneel down and pray for you, God has given them a special ability to intercede. And when they pray, you almost have this feeling that that prayer has reached out the throne room of God. Praise be to God. There are people when they call you just to give you an idea, they have this way of articulating ideas and they have a way of opening up your mind so that it's kind of like they have an ability to peel up the layers of your mind so that when they speak to you, they are able to open up your understanding and they are able to help you see things that you're not able to see. In other words, God has given each one of us diverse characteristics and he has given us diverse personalities. He has given us diverse giftings. He has made us, you have special abilities that probably none of the 9 billion people of this world has. And God has intended that blessing to be not only for you, but for somebody else that is next door. Amen? You know what? Sometimes we struggle looking for our blessings. But the blessings that you might be looking is just maybe within the person that is seated next to you. Somebody that you might be despised. You know, sometimes we as human beings, we have these characteristics. And that's why sometimes we have this characteristic of an ideology of looking things, you know, outwardly. You know, I can only expect an idea to come from a professor, you know, somebody who is well-trained, somebody who has gone to higher levels of education. I can only expect, good counsel to come from somebody who has gone through the theological college. I can only expect, good advice or good tidings to come from somebody who is smart, a good-looking person or somebody who is well-dressed, somebody who is well-versed. Sometimes you'll be surprised that where you least expect, that is where your destiny is. Never look down on somebody. Never look anything down on anything that comes into your life. Amen? Are you listening to me? Sometimes the blessings are in the least expected places. Amen? And that's why you need to appreciate everything. This is what I thank God for. The Bible says, all things work together. And I'm laughing because somebody was telling me when I'm talking to somebody, he always reminds me of this scripture that, Pastor, you love that scripture. But it is true. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, especially everything that is geared towards their purpose. So everything God throws at you, or everything that you encounter, at one time, you'll come to find the benefit of that thing coming to your life. Amen? Praise be to God. And so we are talking about having an enduring winning attitude. What purpose would a winning attitude have if we never had any challenges? If God created us so that we can swim in prosperity and so that by a snap of your finger things happen. If we would just cough and, you know, tea would show up on our table. If we would just, speak in tongues and things showed up on our doorsteps. Would we need any winning attitude? We would never need any winning attitude. But Jesus said, as he was ascending up in heaven, he said that as I leave you, you are going to encounter trouble and challenges here on earth. Are you listening to me? Challenges, problems, a part of a human life. If God is going to endow you with several decades here on earth, listen to me, church. Away with all the people who can come on a pulpit to tell you that salvation, the life about serving God, is bread and butter. Away with people who can come to just tell you that when you get born again, problems will melt away. Away with people who come and tell you that, you know, when you receive Jesus Christ, you will never encounter a problem or a trouble in your life. As a matter of fact, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, it is like there is another faucet that is opened up of problems that come towards us so that we can trust God more. Amen? What good would be a winning attitude if everything in our lives will be going nowhere? But that is not the case for every one of us. As a matter of fact, as I was telling you, that if you're going to live several decades, if God is going to entrust you with several decades of years, you're going to encounter problems. There are people who are going to hate you, whether you like it or not. Hey, hello. Talk back to me, please. I know it is raining outside, but it is well. Praise the Lord. The fact of the matter, there are people in this life who are going to love you. And, you know, they are going to love you unconditionally. They're just going to look at you and they just love you. They're just going to look at you, Pastor, and they just love you. You know, there are people, no matter how good you do, no matter how you want to please them, they are going to hate you, you know? And they will backbite you. They will have nothing to do with you. And that is okay. It is, if somebody hates you, you should not hate them back. It is just a system of life. It's how God has set things to roll here on earth. Are you listening to me? Yeah? And sometimes life will throw a curveball. Do you know what a curveball is? For those people who maybe have watched golf, there's a way of, maybe you play tennis or you have seen baseball, there's a way they can throw that ball at you so that the person who is pitching, you know, it can come pew, 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 and you may not really understand how it is coming to you. There are certain things that will come to you so that when you examine them, you are going to say, where did this one even originate? This one doesn't have even my, you would think that this package does not even have my address. But it has your name on it. But when you open up the package, there are things, a can of worms, and you wonder, where did this one come from? It is a fact of life that when you are in this life, we are going to encounter challenges. Praise be to God. And that's why God wants us to have an enduring attitude of a winning attitude for whatever we face in this life. It was so strongly when the Lord put this message in my life. I was thinking about teaching about something else. But as I was driving home, I heard so clearly that this is what I want you to tell my people about, having a winning attitude. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. For us to have victory, the winning, enduring winning attitude will have to depend on the victory that we want, the victory that we so desire, the victory that we are looking forward for in whatever element, whether you're going to school, whether you're starting in a business, whether you're starting a new career, you are looking forward, you have goals. Everybody doesn't start anything to fail. Amen? I don't start a business to fail. But in the midst of challenges, when I start a business, I want to be profitable. I want to have money so that I can help my family, and so that it can boost my financial portfolio, so that I can be able to pay my bills, and so that I don't want to live from paycheck to paycheck. You have a goal. When you're starting a career, you want to start a career so that you can advance yourself, and so that that career can be of a benefit to you, and so that you can have money to cater for the, you know, day-to-day bills, and also support the work of the ministry. And I believe that is what it is in our minds for all of us. You don't start anything to fail, right? I don't start anything to fail. We didn't start this church to fail. Alan, you didn't start your business to fail. And you're looking forward for every Monday. You're looking forward for that phone call when people are going to call you so that you can provide that service. Amen? For some of us who are in business, we are praying that God will give us favor so that the people, the business that we are engaged in will flourish and will experience God's favor. But it doesn't mean that we don't encounter challenges and problems. You talk to any businessman who is in here. And I thank God, because Empowerment Christian Center is becoming a center that is full of businessmen and women. Amen? And as we get these businesses, people coming in, starting businesses, there are going to be challenges. And for us to combat and to circumvent the challenges that we are going to experience, we must have, and I say it again, we must have an enduring plan of winning, an attitude of winning that is not just outwardly. It has to emanate from our hearts. Praise be to God. And there are certain things, there are certain principles that God put in my heart. There are so many principles that we can even Google it up and find out the principles. But there are some things that God put in my life, in my heart, that I need to share with you. Number one, and we may not be able to finish this. Number one is from a verse that we all know, praise the Lord. From Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse number 11. It is very for us to have an enduring, winning attitude to know this scripture. Amen? You may not know it by heart, but know Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. Amen? This is God's position concerning you. Amen? When I'm starting my business, I know for sure I'm going to have some challenges. When I start my Christian life, I know for sure I'm going to have some challenges. When I'm starting my new career, I know there's going to be maybe a teacher who's going to hate me. But when I know Jeremiah 29 verse 11, this is God's position concerning you. Amen. And what does the Bible say? For I know the plans I have for you. Oh my God. God knows you. God knows you, your ins and outs. There are certain things that we may not know about ourselves, but God knows everything about you. I have told you many times that God does not need to call a board of a committee. God does not need to call for a meeting to discuss what he's going to do with you. He is not going to call a committee to discuss about the challenges that are just about to come over you. God knows you. The Bible calls him omniscient. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Bible calls God omniscient. And don't you think it is a privilege for us to be connected with an omniscient God? You know what omniscience means? All knowing. Amen? Somebody say with me, all knowing. All knowing. Alan, God knows everything about you from A to Z. The Bible says that, you know, he has numbered the hairs of your head, right? I mean, if God like that knows the numbers of my head. He knows my plans. He knows my future. He knows who. He knows what is going to happen 500 days from now. He knows where I'm going to be standing 10 days from today. He knows whether I'll be on a street called whatever. This particular day, on the 19th of August, God knows where I'm going to be at 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. He knows. You may not know that. He says that he knows. I know the plans I have for you. The Lord declares, there are plans for your welfare and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. Amen. I read from the NIV. I like from what it says from NIV. It says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I want you to know that when God is thinking about you, he does not think about harming you. I am telling you the truth. When God is thinking about you, he is not thinking about how, you know, let me tell you, we have heard, especially from maybe places that we went, maybe you heard people telling you that God is punishing you. You might be undergoing something and you might think, what is God trying to teach me? Is God trying to harm me in this area? Is God trying to teach me in this area? He's trying to harm me? That is not the idea. Are you listening to me? God does not want to harm you. Amen? It is the devil who plans to harm you and to distract you from the face of the Lord. And you know what? The devil's mission is to come and kill and destroy and rob you of the vitality of knowing who God is. He knows that when he disconnects you from that omniscient God who knows everything about your life, then he knows that he has got you. But as long as you're connected to that God who knows everything about your life. Amen? Masharia. God knows everything about your family. God knows everything about Sean. He knows where Sean will be 20 years from now. You might be worried about that son, but God knows everything. And the secret about life is just getting hooked up to that God. So that in spite of the problems that we might face, in spite of the challenges that we might face, we know that we are connected to that omniscient God. Are you listening to me, church? Amen. Very, very important. God's position concerning you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Amen. That is one of the principles in order to have an enduring winning attitude. It is very important for you to know, what does God say concerning me? What is God's position concerning this schooling project that I'm about to begin? What is God's mind? What is God's attitude concerning my family? What is God's attitude concerning this new business that I'm launching? Pastor Julius, even when everything goes haywire, he has good plans for you. Let me tell you, sometimes things will create havoc until at the heat of the moment, we are just about to give up. But let me tell you, a few months from where you are, you'll be looking at that situation and you'll be thanking God for that situation. You'll be saying, God, thank you for allowing me to pass through that area. Thank you for allowing me to pass through that valley. Because even through the valley, even when I was overlooked by the shadow of death, God, you'd not allow me to be killed. Amen? So the situations that we might be going through right now momentarily, it is not pleasant. I don't want problems. I don't want challenges. Seriously. Somebody said, me too. I don't want to be in the middle. It is uncomfortable when you do not have money. My goodness, do you know what it means sometimes when you don't have money? I have been in situations. We were just talking with my wife, you know, another day when we were reminiscing of situations that we have gone through in life. Sometimes scratching for coins, Elizabeth, scratching for coins so that you can go buy milk. Aya, unaona kama ni mchezo. But you know what? That was a temper. Did I like it? No. I don't want to go looking for coins, especially when you're looking, you cannot get them. You remember sometimes you put coins maybe in a mukebe and somebody maybe came and took over and at the end kujisaidia nazo. And you cannot really, you don't have anything. And you cannot, sometimes you feel like, you know, especially we men, we don't want, I can't call Alan to give me $10 so that I can buy my children milk. Because nataka ku maintain upedo. You know? Are you listening to me? But you know what? That was a temporary situation. God, even in the midst of that situation, my wife was giving me this story, and I was, you know, this time when I was in the truck, and she was giving me, sorry, if you can allow me to give this story, is it okay? Because sometimes I get in trouble when I go home. When you guys are in your homes, Catherine begins to tell me, why were you saying that? Now, listen, she is looking for coins, and unbeknown to me, that there is no money to buy even milk at that time, okay? And she is wondering now, God, what am I going to do? She is looking, pulling up, you know, her purse, and she's going under my mifuko and looking for everything, and there's no money. And as she was trying, she got some coins, actually. She managed to get some coins that were enough to buy 2 gallons of milk. And so she's just about to hit a door. And as she is putting some shoes so that she can open up the door, somebody that we least expected. So, you know, by the way, there are people that you can never even expect that they would come with something. Even when you think about them, you don't even think, can come to my house with something. Somebody that you can least expect. That's why I'm saying, never look down on anybody. She had a knock. And she saw, this man, you know, you don't even know that guy. And he said, hey, Miss Pastor, it's been a long time since I've never came. And please don't even lock the door because I want to rush into my car. And the guy came, carrying gallons of milk, bringing cereal, and bringing everything that Catherine needed. And the guy even never sat down. He said, bye-bye. We'll see you another time. God is faithful. What does he say? I know the plans that I have for you. They are not plans to harm you. Let me tell you, in the most distressful moments of our heartaches and trouble and challenges, we don't feel like we wanna even do anything. Sometimes we can cry. But let me tell you, God understands everything. He knows. He knows you. He's omniscient about you. He knows where your provision is going to come from. Are you listening to me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Number two, we are talking about the enduring winning attitude. We have talked about knowing God's position concerning you. Number two, I don't know why I felt about this, but I feel I need to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. You can write it down. Okay, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We have a saying in our Greek language, you know, where we come, and this is what it says. I don't know whether it's somebody, maybe Sister Lorraine, somebody will interpret for her, and also Mrs. Move. I know Mrs. Move might really know this maybe by induction because, she, you know, we say, Moshera namukodo. Yes. So whoever, you might have good morals. You might have even good character. But if you choose, in other words, what God is telling us, we have to choose our company, our friends well. Because friends can wreck our winning attitude mentality. Are you listening to me? Because you might be having good morals, you might be having a good character, you might be having a good winning attitude, but the moment you choose your company or your friends wrongfully, they might intoxicate that winning attitude that you may have. And the tendency is not that sometimes we go out to people thinking that we are going to win them into our good moral behavior, but the tendency is to be won back into that bad behavior. It always works in the negative way. You know, sometimes you can go, and that's why I'm not saying that we cannot go out to witness to people who are prostitutes or people who are drunkards or people who do not even do the things that we really hate. We need to go out. Jesus used to go out and witness to those people, but he never made them his company. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So we need to choose our friends. Anybody, listen to me, guys. Anybody who it will be anti-progress in your life. Like somebody who, whenever you tell you have this idea, big idea, I want to go to school, somebody comes, you are too old. What are you going to accomplish? You are too old now. I can look, even you have white hair. Yeah? When you go to class with the youngsters, 18 years, what are you going to do? It's an embarrassment to yourself. And when you listen to them, they are gonna destroy your winning attitude that is God-given. God wants us to have a winning and enduring that no matter what, I am going to go forth and I'm going to search forth and I'm going to be a victorious one because God is the one who has given me this winning attitude in my life. And this is a second principle, choosing our friends. Let me tell you, church, listen to me very, very carefully. And I'm speaking to you as your pastor. Anybody who is anti-progress in your life, you need to switch them off. I'm not saying you hate them. I'm saying you need to switch them off. Let me tell you guys, and you know, sometimes it might seem like ni rudeness, I mean, it might seem like ni kiburi, it might seem like it's pride, but there are people I used to be friends with, it's not that I hate them, but we used to talk and talk, but not there are people not from this church, not saying people from this church, because you know, I'm your pastor, so you can talk anytime you want to call me, we are going to talk, but you know, we used to be even people we used to work with, you know. People, they call you and they give you negativity. By the time you leave that phone call, you are so devastated, you feel like, you know, the world is going to end at that time. Have you ever had friends like those? You know, they're giving you negativity they don't even want to do. Or they give you how the dollar is performing so poorly. They tell even the prices of milk is so high. I don't even know where we are going to live tomorrow. It's like, even you feel like there's no need even of going to work because this world is actually ending in the next 30 minutes. Negative people. You need to do away with the negative people. There are negative people all over. In fact, if you are looking for negative people, you will get a hold of them. And let me tell you, be wary if you think that, you know what, I love this man so much, I love this woman so much, and I'm going to win them back. The tendency is they are going to win you over to them if you are not very careful. So choose your company because your good morals are God-given. God has given each and every believer some space for good morals. And good morals come by practice. We can learn good morals. Amen? For example, when your child is sick, there are people, let me tell you, there are people that you can call when your child has a homa, cold, a simple homa, who say, you need to take that child into emergency. You know, the child of so-and-so, they had the same symptoms you told me, and there were warmth, that when they took the CAT scan, there was surgery. You know? That child was surgical. You need to take that child to emergency right now. There are people like those, negative. Instead of believing God with you, you know, like the other day, I don't know where we were. I was here in church. And I remember it was Monday. And there was one of the mothers here in the church. She came and she was taking her child, you know, to the doctor. And they said, you know, they have told me that my child has this hemoglobin, low level hemoglobin. I said, I cancel that hemoglobin in Jesus' name. I cancel that hemoglobin. I don't even know. Low hemoglobin. I told her, from right now, go to Walmart, buy iron. Start taking those iron tablets and, you know, give nyonyo to that child and that hemoglobin is going to come back. You know? I don't believe. Sometimes, you know, they are scary reports. And I know, by the way, I'm not really ignorant of the medical. I know those things are for real. But there are some. There's a name. I remember, like, one of my child was sick, and then they went to this doctor, and the doctor said they had this Jeremiah something sickness. What was that sickness? Huh? What was that? Kid, what was that sickness they told? Kawasaki. They said, is there any sickness called Kawasaki? Yeah, they diagnosed Jeremy. They said, oh, this is Kawasaki. And I said, Kawasahu? Kawasaki, I bind you in the name of Jesus. In fact, Catherine called a lady. She called her mama. This mama was in the medical field and said, oh, my child has been diagnosed with the Kawasaki. I've never even Kawasaki. This woman shouted on the phone, I cancel Kawasaki in the name of Jesus. Kawasaki, no Kawasaki. That child is whole. And let me tell you, there was no Kawasaki. You know, I don't even know where the names, these medical names come from. Kawasaki. Do not just accept anything. Somebody comes and say, you know that, you know, you walk into a store. Sometimes you can walk into a store, you are looking for something. Like I went there the other day, I went into a Home Depot, and I was asking for something. I knew there must have been a product for something. And this guy said, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that product. I said, no, this is a Home Depot, there must be something else. I'll seek a second opinion. You know the way you can go because you don't know where everything is. So I went to, I said, no, there must be a product. And I went and I asked another employee, I need something that I need to attach together. Something is falling apart. Oh, he said, I know where it is. And he led me where it is. You have to be forceful. You don't just, you know, surrender at the face value because somebody has told you Kawasaki or somebody has told you cannot do this. And you say, oh, it is it. This now I cannot proceed. Ati, I'm done. No. Are you listening to me, church? You must push it to the next level. Because let me tell you, the devil might use somebody so that you may not get your success. And the first time somebody says no, just stand your ground and you say, no, there must be another idea. There must be another idea. I'm going to go Google it up. You cannot tell me that there's no something that can join these chairs together. You say, oh, Home Depot, we don't sell this. No, it is a Home Depot. If you don't know, tell me where I can go. Lowe's or something, another department store. But I'm not living there without an answer. You know? Are you listening to me? I think I digressed a little bit, but we were in the bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Choose your friends wisely. Amen? Even you, be friendly to other people. Sometimes, let me tell you, how can we make friends with other people? Make yourself friendly. One way is of making friends with other people. It is not just to isolate yourself. You can make yourself friendly. I was actually counseled this many, many years because, you know, I was working in the banking career, and they called us and they were telling us one way of winning customers is making yourself friendly, okay? When you meet somebody that you've never seen, you never know whether that is your miracle. Sometimes maybe you're worried because when you speak, your accent is going to come up, you know? I was afraid when I came up here because I don't want them to speak something I don't understand. And so you're with somebody here, and you know, you're just quiet like this. You can smile at them. How are you? Oh, it's cold today. You know, I like the way the Americans are. Even if you don't know anybody, somebody will tell you something that if you don't care, say, oh, yes, it is very cold today, actually. The sun is coming out. And they ask you, where are you coming from? I come from Kenya, the country where God lives. He said, oh, you know, I have a friend who is a Kenyan. Oh, by the way, I do this business with Kenyans. And you know what? You might get your opportunity up there. Do not be scared. Nobody's going to eat you because you speak Kenyan or you speak another language. They're going to appreciate. By the way, they like when you have that accent. And another guy told me, when they have an accent, tell them, you also have an accent. Yeah, because, you know, I don't hear any accent when I'm speaking with a fellow Kenyan. I don't hear any accent, but when I'm talking to somebody else from another country, from Nigeria, they have an accent, right? Yes. So, but anyway, we make yourself friendly to people. Who knows who God is going to send in your life, and you might actually share the gospel with them. You might invite them to church. You might invite them to a fellowship. You might be of beneficial to them. There are people who you will see only once in your lifetime. Amen? When you meet with them, maybe you leave them with one word. One word. And that word will propel them to their destiny. So do not be ignorant of people who bring, who God's bring into your life. Praise be to God. Number three, you must practice your winning language. There is a winning language. Somebody say, practice a winning language. Yes, there's a winning language, and that is found in Philippians chapter number 4. It is actually, if you don't even have to read there, you can turn your, if you can turn your head back there, that is where it is. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Philippians number 4, verse number 8. This is Paul speaking to the Philippines, and this is what he was telling them. He says, finally, brethren, hallelujah, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Amen? The things you have learned, I love verse number 9, by the way. I love it. Sometimes we just only read verse number 8 and we omit verse number 9. This is what it says. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Amen? In other words, Paul is admonishing us to practice that, to practice to speak whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of repute. If there is any excellence in anything that is worthy of praise, let us practice to speak positively. Amen. Practice, let your tongue learn to speak positive things. Let me tell you guys, I was never good in this. And God is really helping me. Sometimes, my wife is very good in speaking, you know, in the midst of challenges, my wife says, oh no, this thing is going to work. And when I look at it, what she is saying is going to work. I don't see any way it's going to work. But Catherine is very good. In fact, even my daughter, she's saying, oh, yes, this thing is really going to work. In the midst of impossibilities, I don't even know. You know, my human mind is looking, with my intellect, I'm looking, okay, at all options of how that thing is going to maybe go and work. And many times I see it like it is going to destroy us. I'm telling you the truth. But God is helping me to train my tongue to see the impossibilities. The Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. Amen? And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not. Many times we want to see something so that we can believe that it is going to work. But for us to, in order for us to have faith, in order for us to please and to appreciate how God operates in his realm as an unseen God, as a non-physical God, we have to appreciate the concept of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to believe that even though we have not seen them, even though we have not seen an evidence or a manifestation of a thing, we have to believe in our heart that that thing, when we believe it and when we go forward and when we embrace it, it is going to happen. Praise the Lord. For example, I can give you an example. You might be in the transportation business. We have low seasons and we have high seasons, you know? And we have seasons so that when you're going to look for goods to transfer from point A to point B, the season says that, you know, this is the wrongful season and you may not get things going. And so you are looking at that per the scientific or per the history of how things have operated. But as for us, the children of God, when we trust God, let me tell you, there'll always be somebody who is castigated or who is prompted by God to ship goods so that you can transport those goods. Are you listening to me? That is what faith is. And that is how you get into doing things, having that attitude that, you know what, I have to believe God, that God can create an oasis in the midst of a desert. Amen? Oh, I'm speaking to myself now. Are you listening to me? We have to believe that God is capable. He is Almighty God. And we saw in the first piece of a statement that we saw that God's idea is not to harm you. He will provide for you. I tell you of a story how a guy we have never even expected knocked on our door in the midst of dire need, and he provided some gallons of the things that we needed at that particular moment. God is able. Amen. He can create an oasis in the midst of a desert. Hallelujah. That is what God is able to do in our lives. And so God expects us to build up our faith. He says, if only you have as little faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, you can speak of and tell it to move from one region to another. It is not a literal mountain. It might be issues and challenges that we face in life. When we have faith, we can speak faith and we can say, from this point on, I declare and decree that this thing that is impeding me, that is preventing me to reach my destiny, be removed. And let me tell you, within time, and you continue speaking unto it, you mountain, you have to go in the name of Jesus. You mountain, you have to go in the name of Jesus. And I'm not giving up. I'm not saying, I cannot take a no at this point. There are some times I can want to take a no, but this particular moment, I am not taking a no for this particular thing. And let me tell you, when you trust God, you will see how God is going to come and help you and alleviate some of the things that you're going through. Amen. Praise be to God. So let us practice your winning language. There's a winning language. Train your tongue to speak. There's sometimes, you know, you want to speak. There's sometimes when you see a situation, oh my goodness, oh, I need this one. Then the dog. You know, you're looking at your grades. For those who are going to school, and you've been getting 70s, you know, you're getting 60s, and you're getting, you know, and it's in the middle of the term, and everything looks like it is going south. But let me tell you, when you continue to trust God, God might speak to that professor and something might turn around in your life. As long as you say, God, I'm going to make it. God, I'm going to pass. God, I didn't come here to fail. My objective was to flourish and to succeed in this career. Lord, you're giving me favor. Amen? And God is surely going to give you favor. I remember a time when Sister Fine, she was in her nursing course, and somebody, she was doing very well, and when she's just about to graduate, and I hope, you know, some doesn't mind me speaking about this, one of the just professors just didn't like her, you know. She just came, and out of nothing, she, you know, she did everything, and the pass mark was, I think, something like, you know, I don't know whether 85 or 90 or something, and she just made sure that, you know, Sister Fine is as good as, you know, she is. She smiles at everybody. She has no harm for everybody, but this professor just didn't like her. And she made her fail. It was agonizing. But I thank God for her because she didn't give up. She didn't just stay on one corner and say, oh, this 1 year I've just dedicated myself. She says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to retry it. And let me tell you, when she retried it, she passed. Amen. Not only that, she has already found a job and she is working. That is the God that we serve. Not saying no to things that you have to train your tongue to say, no, I take no for this answer. I am going to succeed. God made me to succeed in whatever I do. My family, my children are going to be excellent. They are going to succeed in the name of Jesus. I close my inner ears to hear what people are saying against me. I don't care. I cancel every tongue that is risen against me, against my family right now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be fruitful in this land. I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to have money in the name of Jesus. Purity, I'm going to have a bank account that is full of money in the name of Jesus. Speak faith. Train your tongue. Train your tongue. Train your children how also to train to have a winning language. Amen? When they're in the midst, when things are going negative, they still have a winning language. Whatever is true, whatever is positive, whatever is trustworthy, train yourself to speak these things. The winning language. Somebody say the winning language. Yes, we have to have a winning language. Praise be to God. And number four, and I think maybe have one more and then we are going to conclude. We shall maybe continue the next time. This is very, very important. Maybe this should have been the first one. Okay. Matthew 6:25 from 33. And I would like us to read that one because it really blessed me. Matthew 6:25, 33. Matthew 6:25 to 33. If you say it, can you say a big amen? If you're still finding it like myself, can you say I'm still finding it? I know it is there on the screen, but let me read it. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. This is what the Bible says. Listen to this, man. And I know you've read this before, but this is good. Do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will do what? You will drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Somebody say birds. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by work, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of this. 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Can somebody read that with me? For after all these things, say with me, for after all these things, let us say it in council. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Okay, now verse number 36. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The key word there is seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The other key verse is that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Amen? He knows exactly what we need. He's talked about the birds of the air. He's talked about the ants. He's talked about so many things. God has taking care of the birds of the air. He gives every bird a worm, or gives every bird food. No bird goes, let me tell you, even when there is hunger. You human beings, you talk, there is, the sun is so hot, and there is the drought in Texas. I have never heard a bird saying there is drought in Texas, even when it is 90 degrees consistently, without rain. Have you ever had a meeting called by birds saying, Tonyoni, you know, they are complaining, they are crying to the authorities. What are we going to eat? And let me tell you, every bird goes into its nest full. God takes care of them. In much the same way, whether there is hunger, whether there is drought, God knows you. Do not worry about these things. And let me tell you, it is easily said than done, because I'm a culprit of worry. Who hasn't worried here in their life? I worry about the uncertainties. I worry about, is my child really going to succeed? Is how are my children going to grow up in this society with all these killings? Sometimes you even worry that maybe somebody is going to start shooting in their schools. But you know what? God knows them. He knows what you need. He knows that you need the protection of your children. Praise be to God. Amen? And the Bible culminates by saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is one of the most important statements you can ever have while trying to put together an enduring winning attitude. Seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We miss it because sometimes we wanna seek all these other things, as we were told the Gentiles used to do, seeking about the clothes. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to seek, you know, to wanting to work so that you can get good clothes and a nice house and a nice car. But you know, the other way around is how God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we have always needed, he will be provided to us. Amen. How do we seek first the kingdom of God? It is by nourishing our relationship with God. That's what I'm talking about. It is by nourishing our relationship with God. How is my prayer life? How do I really get time for God to speak to me through his word? Do I really have time to pray and intercede? Do I attend regular meetings, you know, in the church? Do I neglect the coming together of brethren? Do I support the work of the ministry? All those things are when it's included or it's included in seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and all these other things that he knows that you need will be added unto us. Amen? Having an enduring, winning attitude. Let's stand to our feet in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll continue that next Sunday. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we give you glory and honor. It is your desire that we may have an enduring, a permanent winning attitude consistently even as we continue in this life. Father, I come against every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus concerning our families. I come against the works of the devil, the evil one. I nullify and bring to naught any attacks of the enemy that is directed towards any family in this church in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you shall open up our eyes to see the glory of God, to see the goodness of God in this land. And Father, to seize the opportunities that are knocking on our doors in the name of Jesus. Some of us have been intimidated by opportunities that came and we didn't know how to speak or who to connect to. I pray that you shall give us the boldness of a lion in the name of Jesus. Give us a tenacity to attack opportunities that come to us. Father, you have good plans for each one of these people. That is what your word says. You don't have any plan to harm any one of them. But you have a good future. A plan that is well elaborate plan for their future and for the destinies of their lives. In the name of Jesus. I pray that you may open up our eyes. That we may see clearly the things that you have designated for us. In the name of Jesus. I pray that none of us, Lord, will fall prey to the attacks of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we shall be men and women who have the zeal of the house of God. We shall be men who seek your kingdom and its righteousness, knowing that when we do these things, all these other things shall be added unto us. I thank you, Father, for every family. I cover them by the blood of Jesus. I put a hedge of protection around about every family in the name of Jesus. Around our young people in the name of Jesus. We pray for Pastor Chilundika's family. While in Zambia, we pray for them, Lord, that you shall protect them. You shall protect their children here in the name of Jesus. We pray for even young Thu and Masharia. Even as they go about their business in Kenya, protect them in the name of Jesus. No harm will come over their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you shall comfort their parents, their mother in the name of Jesus, even when their children are out there in the name of the Lord. And I pray for each and every one of us, oh God, that we shall see the goodness of God in this land, that we shall have the zeal and the fire of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I right now nullify any word that has been spoken against any one of us in the name of Jesus. I cancel any word that would bring an effect, a negative effect over the life of any one of us in the name of Jesus. I pray that we shall begin to practice to speaking the winning language in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you this morning to the glory and honor of your name. You might be in this place, you've never given your life to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anyone who has never given their life to Jesus? We want to pray together with you. Lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and we give glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. You may have your seats and thank you so much. May the Lord bless you as I welcome Pastor Julius to come and give us a little announcements here and then